America, Houston.
Go ahead, Gordo.
Oh, that drop out there was because Ascension had a problem. We're now over on Madrid, and you're sounding good.
Okay. Okay, Gordo, Jack is in his suit, unzipped at this time. I'm going off the air, and Ron will come on and keep you informed as to how we're going.
Okay, fine.
Houston. How do you read the LMP?
I'm clear, Jack.
Okay, I'm in my suit, presently unzipped. Didn't seem to be any problem at all.
Okay.
And, Gordy, I think I found a problem with the biomed centers, and when I come out of the suit, I can fix it. I put a little of that bacterial cream on the center places last night as a preventive mechanism, and I think it's just a little greasy to hold the center.
Okay.
got his suit on, and he's going across to the Lambda.
Roger, Ron.
SCMP. I'll go off the line here for a little bit until I get my suit on again.
Okay, Ron.
And Jack's still on the line up there to Lima.
Okay.
Okay, Houston, we're both zipped now, and it went quite easily.
Okay, Jack sounds super.
This is Apollo Control at 6121, ground elapsed time. Position and velocity on the spacecraft. Now 51,982 nautical miles from the moon. Velocity 3,288 feet per second. Distance from Earth 179,437 nautical miles. Crew completing their checkout of the lunar module, getting partially suited in their pressure garment assemblies, or spacesuits, if you will, for the installation of the probe and drogue and close out of the tunnel into the lunar module. At 6122, up and live on air ground circuit, this is Apollo Control.
RCMP. I finally got message on there.
Go ahead. America, Houston, did you call?
I've got my suit on now. And I had a little trouble with the donning lanyards getting stuck in the zipper, but I figured out how to get them out of the way now.
Okay.
Gene has is it pretty well off now.
Okay, Ron. We reviewed the data on the EMOD. Everything looks normal. One thing you might do is no big thing, but you might zero now 26. It's still loaded, left over from the EMP you used in the B-23 yesterday.
Okay. Thank you much.
Loud and clear, Jack.
Say, when I was switching batteries, I noticed switching from low to high taps that there were some reverse current indications. I'm sure that's nothing to be concerned about. You probably expected those, right?
That's affirmative, Jack. That's normal.
This is Apollo Control. From all indications on telemetry here in Mission Control, the crew at this time has closed the lunar module hatch, and it should be reinstalling the probe and drogue assemblies. And finally, the command module hatch, thereby closing out the tunnel. Apollo 17 now 177, would you believe our space digitals have gone back to Earth reference momentarily. At any rate, the spacecraft is 177,966 nautical miles from Earth, traveling at a velocity of 2,652 feet per second in with reference to the Earth. And as soon as the space digital display goes back to the moon reference, we'll read those numbers off. We're waiting for the call from the crew that they have completed stowing or installing the probe and drogue assembly and closing out the tunnel. At 6151, standing by, this is Apollo Control.
America, Houston, we'd like to terminate the charge on battery B.
Okay, stand by one. Okay, we'll get that in a minute, Gordo.
Okay.
Okay, Gordo, the charge should be terminated on B.
Okay.
And 7 Alpha is still, 7 Alpha is still 0.6.
Roger.
Okay, Gordy, I'm looking around, but I can't figure out what that master alarm is. I didn't see any O2 high flow, and I didn't see any lights, and we did get it down in the LED.
Okay, Gene.
And there it is again.
Roger.
And again.
Roger.
Okay, I saw SPS pressure blink on that one.
Roger.
Yeah, Gordy, she's triggering continually on SPS pressure. Yeah, I can't reset it. A minute later, she's coming up with a blink on SPS pressure.
Okay, Gene, we think it's the, well, we're sure that it's the oxidizer pressure is right on the trip limit. We're almost certain it's due to helium absorption.
Yeah, we're reading 155 right now.
Roger.
Okay, Gordy, we got the SPS pressure light on steady now.
Roger. America Houston, if you give us accept, we'll give you a new state vector. Nothing much wrong with the one you got, but we're just going to tweak it up.
Okay, Gordo, you got it.
And one other question. Do you have the LEM closed up? Now, we're seeing some heater currents that are a little higher, indicating maybe the light's still on, and we're just trying to understand where the LEM is at the present time.
Okay, I just closed the hatch just about the time you started talking there.
Okay, we'll take a look at the currents now. America, it's your computer, and we did the verb 66.
Okay. Hey, Gordo, what's the trend in thinking on that SPS light? To leave it lit or to bump the pressure up?
Well, Ed Mitchell must be at work. We're just talking about that subject. I'll call you when I come up with a final decision.
Okay, and Ron has closed the limb hatch, he's put the drogue in, he's put the probe in, and he's putting the CSM hatch in as a one-man exercise suited. So he's doing the whole thing, and he's still in his suit. Our suits are stowed.
Okay, Gene. We got one question here that just waiting for a convenient time to ask. And that was, wondered if, with reference to the wake-up problems we had this morning, if you clarified just exactly why Ron didn't hear our crew alert master alarm. Do you know exactly why?
Well, it's not the Seconal. As much as I hate to admit it, the power audio tone was off in my headset.
Okay, we kind of suspected
so,
that.
So, okay, that lets you rest a little bit easier. And just to prevent something like that from happening again, or if it should happen again, what we'll do, we'll hook up the tone booster, which we didn't have hooked up last night.
Okay, we concur. Sounds good.
Gee whiz, I just got it in time until I tried to push out the caution and warning, the master alarm, and burnt my end of my finger. I was also in a sleep restraint. Upside down was a zipper in the back, and I had a little problem getting my hands out to start with also.
The hutch.
Houston, cabin repress is back to both now. I mean, emergency cabin repress.
Roger, Ron.
if you don't have any objections, we'd like to go ahead and secure the high gain and go into PTC while Ron's doffing his PGA.
Let me check and see if we have any. Sounds good to us. Go ahead and per flight plan, spin it up.
Okay.
And I don't want to mislead you. I mean, get ready to spin it up. We'll give you the go to spin up.
Okay. Okay, Gordy, you want to leave the high gain till you call?
Stand by. Okay, Jack, it's good attitude to go to Omni Bravo, and you can go ahead and secure the high gain. America Houston, the rates look good. Your go for spin up.
Okay, great, Gordo. We're go for spin up. We've got a show in here that very few men have ever seen, and that's a CMP trying to get out of a suit by himself.
Wish I was there to watch.
It really is a story to behold. Needless to say, we're both very impressed.
I can tell. America Houston, use BD roll for spin up.
Okay. LMP on Biomed, how do you read?
Okay, Jack, let's take one check here. America, D2 roll is not on. You need the Delta roll chip.
Yeah, I'm still working on it, Gordo. I was just deciding whether to spin minus or plus, but I guess we ought to spin minus as per the flight plan.
Okay. Okay. Okay, the LMP, ZKG, and ZPN look good. And on the SPS light, we recommend not doing anything with the system. Well, we want you to go to acknowledge, so get the light out of your eyes, and then just fly there and acknowledge in the caution and warning.
Okay, Gordy, we're in acknowledge, and I presume probably after LOI we'll be able to go back to normal, right?
That's affirmative.
Is that an abnormal amount of helium ingestion, or you think that's about right?
It's absorption, and that's normal.
Houston, you read?
Loud and clear.
Okay, now that we got another look at you, Gordy, it looks like Houston might be right on the fringes of either being clear or clear. The entire Gulf is pretty nice. Florida looks pretty clear. Mexico looks pretty clear. There's a big air mass of clouds that looks like it picks up somewhere around the coast at Houston, heads on up north, and then covers most of the Midwest and the East from about the middle of Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia on north. It's clear enough now to even see the coral reefs down off of Florida. And it looks like West Texas is probably also pretty clear, at least in a run from east to west. We can see Baja and on up the coast of California up north.
Okay, sounds like the whole crew is turning into weathermen.
It's one of the better views we've had of the States, I think, even though we're quite a ways out.
Roger. Looks like your spacecraft point is just about Peru right now.
Yeah, we're, looks like we're looking straight down on the center of South America, pretty close to what you're saying. Gordy, you want to bring us up to date briefly on how you plan on handling this time update again?
Okay, I'll do that, but let me practice before I start here. Just a minute.
Okay, I'm primarily interested in those parts of the flight plan which we're going to eliminate.
Okay, just one second. Gino, I'll read you the PAO release. They summed it up pretty well, and I'll just use their words here. The time has been made up in two increments, the first one of 1 hour and 45 minutes in the flight plan. The crew activities were jumped ahead by 1 hour, and they essentially began doing those things that were called for 1 hour later in the flight plan. They will again jump ahead an hour and 40 minutes, and that'll occur at 65 hours. By that time, they will have completed all those activities required up through 67 hours and 40 minutes in the flight plan. Or, in other words, they'll have completed all of the activities required to get them into lunar orbit 2 hours and 40 minutes early, and in order to make the clocks then agree with where the crew will be in the flight plan, we'll jump the clocks ahead 2 hours and 40 minutes. This clock update, which can be likened to going on daylight saving time, only 2 hours and 40 minutes worth of change instead of 1 hour of change as we do on daylight savings time, will occur at 65 hours when the crew will have completed all of those flight plan activities up through 67 hours and 40 minutes. This simply involves setting our clocks at 65 hours in the control center and aboard the spacecraft at 65 hours, moving them ahead to 67 hours and 40 minutes. Then, barring any further changes in the mission timeline from that point on, the elapsed time clocks, which are used as a cue to flight plan activities, should agree with the flight plan and events that, in the flight plan, are called out for a certain time will happen at that time on the elapsed time clocks in mission control and aboard the spacecraft. This is a convenience factor.
You're lucky we're going to lose an Omni.
Okay, I'll hold off here for the rest.
Gordy, never mind. I think I got the gist of it.
Did you give up, Gordy?
Okay, what we're really going to do is simple. At 65 hours, we're going to do the update of 2 hours and 40 minutes, and the procedures are shown in the flight plan at 67:35. There just happens to be really no activities we have to reschedule in the intervening time. So after the update is complete, we'll be right on the flight plan, both time-wise and activity-wise. Over.
Okay, we're looking at it. Gonna have to squeeze my shave in somewhere else, I guess.
Hey, Gene, Houston.
Go ahead.
Hey, you got a bright. You can cast a tying vote. Which was the best description, the water bag or the clock one?
Now I remember. We got a little, give a little credit on this last one, I guess, to the public affairs, because I don't think Gordo could have thought that one up all by himself.
Very diplomatic.
Considering I was trying to do Charlie's technique step by step, I guess I got to give him a little bit more credit from a gymnastic point of view. That sounded like one of Gordy's aircraft schedules.
Hey, Ben.
Apollo Control at 63 hours and 9 minutes.
Jack, we lost all that due to the antenna switch. Say again. Jack, we missed your last transmission.
Carl, are you listening?
Due to the antenna switch.
You say you got it or you're getting it?
No, we missed it.
Okay, I said you can look right down at the Cape area. That's the Cape that we know in Florida. And a little disheartening because the last time I was up here looking back from this angle, they were moving another Saturn V for another moon trip out on the pad already. But I guess they're working pretty feverishly out there on B.
This is Apollo Control, 63 hours, 11 minutes, ground elapsed time. Charlie Duke was on the spacecraft communicators console for a while there, discussing the clock update description that had been read up earlier by Gordo Fullerton, asking for a judgment on the part of the crew as to whether that description was better than...
Jack, I think Gene is right. You got some probably scattered cloud weather, but not very far away from you. There's a pretty heavy mass of clouds that may be the forerunner of that dry cold front you were talking about yesterday, which I could see stretching over into Sonora, but where it hits the stateside, it's got quite a mass of clouds associated with it. Looks like they're moving in your direction.
Okay, Jack, thanks for the warning.
Clear behind it in Arizona, New Mexico, and maybe southern Colorado. But looks like there may be another front stretching. Well, maybe it hits northern Arizona and Utah and up through northern Colorado and on into Canada, trending northeast.
You're calling it right on, Jack. I'm looking at a surface chart, and that's about what we see.
Like a low might be developing on that one, a wave up in northern Colorado, although the clouds are a little hard to read.
Roger.
That was Lunar Module Pilot Jack Schmidt.
Up our zero phase point. About 20 degrees west of Bolivia, our zero phase point, and it is quite a bit brighter than yesterday. It looks as if, in more general, as if maybe the seas have picked up in that region a little bit.
Roger.
more real-time weather reporting.
Features is developed, that I've seen, is developed in the south east Pacific, just north of the Ross Sea. And that is a very striking mushroom pattern on a very large scale. It has north-south cloud streamers from the Ross Sea, and when it gets up about the latitude of Tierra del Fuego, but quite a bit west of that land, yeah, it branches out to the east and west in a large mushroom pattern, and it looks like the top of that mushroom may be a curved cold front that's pushing its way up into the southeast Pacific. Currently, the eastern edge of that front is probably 10 degrees longitude from Tierra del Fuego, and it looks like that land is in southern Chile is picking up high clouds probably associated with that front's movement.
Roger.
I'll get some shots of that next time around. That's a spectacular pattern. You almost get the feeling that the cold air mass moving out of Antarctica streams for a while north-south, and then it picks the cloud patterns change as it starts to migrate. The wind starts to change from east to west. Maybe that's where it encounters the jet stream.
Fudge.
This is Apollo Control going through an antenna switch at the present time.
America Houston. I have a couple of miscellaneous items here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we'd like you to disable B2 and D2 just for a drill here.
Oh, thank you, Gordo.
Also, the she tank looks exactly nominal as far as the rise rate goes to us.
Can't argue with that.
And to summarize your film budget situation, have three magazines, KK, LL, and MM, are budgeted for the scheduled photos such that they have only 5, 19, and 1, respectively, frames left over after you've done all the scheduled pictures. And November, we think has just 9 frames remaining now. The two non-scheduled magazines are OO and PP, 160 frames each. Those are the ones provided for optional use. We have 44 additional frames scheduled out of November, scheduled during lunar orbit. There's only 9 left in it now, so we'd like to save at least 60 frames out of either Oscar or Papa Papa, the two optional magazines, to cover the scheduled frames. Guess what we're saying is there's no problem. We still got plenty of film, but you will have to use some of your optional mags for scheduled pictures. 60 frames is what we want to save.
Okay, Mighty Pine Gordo, plan on Oscar for that magazine.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control at 6323 ground elapsed time. The Space Digital's display here in the control center still showing Earth to spacecraft distance and velocity. Distance 180,309 nautical miles. Velocity relative to Earth 2,593 feet per second. A few moments ago, the lunar module pilot Jack Schmidt, who is a professional geologist, put on his hat as an amateur meteorologist and described some of the global weather systems visible from their vantage point out beyond 180,000 miles from Earth. Still up live and standing by at 6324 ground elapsed time. This is Apollo Control.
Gordy, this is Jack.
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I, Caltech will never forgive me. A little hesitant on my elementary optics, but I just put Ron's polarizing filter in front of the monocular, looking at the Earth, and rotate 90 degrees, and from max to min, in terms of brightness, there's a remarkable change. And I suspect that means that the Earth is polarizing light enough to see it. The main thing that happens is that the oceans get considerably darker when I rotate the filter towards the dark position anyway. The continents don't seem to show any obvious change, but the oceans and the zero phase point darken, I would guess by a factor of two in brightness. Maybe that's an extreme, but I think it's that.
All right, Jaya. I was just trying to think of a reason. Is it a uniform change over all ocean areas, or is it more of a change in some areas than others?
Well, I'd say that the solar point shows the greatest change, but you can still, the zero phase point shows the greatest change, but all the oceans get darker.
Very interesting. We're just about to switch omnis.
Watson's empty.
Go ahead.
Gordy, I figure you're getting an optics briefing ready for me, right?
I haven't had anybody volunteer one. Strictly some layman theories going around, but nothing official.
Okay.
America Houston, just got started on the Cowboy-Redskin game, about 5 minutes into it. The Cowboys are ahead 7-0. They scored the first time they got the ball.
Gordy, started talking before we had an Omni. Try it again.
Okay, the Cowboy-Redskin game just got started. It's now 7-0 Cowboys. They scored the first time they got their hands on the ball.
Okay, I think we got most of that. It happened again, though. Did you say it was 7-0 Cowboys?
That's what I said. They scored the first time they got the ball. It's the game's just about 5 minutes old.
Outstanding. I thought this was Saturday, isn't it? Isn't today Saturday?
It is, but the college is all through, so pros are playing on Saturday now.
Beautiful. 7-0, huh? Go get them, Cowboys. But he would say the same thing for Washington, I'm sure. No siree. Go get them, Cowboys. Houston, 17.
Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, Gordo, my apologies on the CMP's instant drinking bag. There was, in fact, water in it. However, somehow, when we put the suit on, the water bag had gotten turned sideways, I guess is a way to explain it. It got turned sideways such that the suction tube was crimped sideways. And as a result, there's no way that you could get any water to go through the tube.
Okay, you're talking about the problem we had there just before launch, right?
That's affirmative, pre-launch.
Okay. And for your information, the PTC looks good. It ought to hold.
Okay, mighty fine. I lost my scissors. If anything you can do to help me find them, I'd be appreciated.
Okay.
Okay.
Got a game plan update for you here. It's now 14-0 Dallas, still the first quarter.
God, you're sure a bearer of good news, Gordy. That's great. Gordy, this is Jack. I just tried the red filter on the front of the monocular, and about the only major thing I noticed was that the cloud patterns over the land masses seem to be enhanced. The contrast between cloud and land, particularly green land, is enhanced. Otherwise, all it does is make the Earth look a little red.
Roger, Jack.
This is Apollo Control at 63 hours, 56 minutes, ground elapsed time. Space digital display still showing Earth reference numbers. 181,123 nautical miles out from Earth. Velocity 2,573 feet per second relative to the Earth. There will be a change of shift press conference in the News Center briefing room at approximately 4:15 with Flight Director Neil Hutchinson, and at 63:56 standing by, this is Apollo Control.